League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Big thanks to Chris Myers for stopping by in the last segment. You can check out the podcast of the Paul Gallant Show, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. J.J. Watt, speaking of podcasts, was on today's episode of Pardon My Take. It is one of my favorite sports podcasts. I would say it's probably number two. I think the Ryan Russillo podcast is my number one. But Pardon My Take is right behind it.
No love for Around the NFL? Greg Rosenthal, friend of the show?
Damn, you know what? Around the NFL, I've been listening to the longest. So Around the NFL is, if we're to play a little game of marry, passion, kill, I guess I'd have to kill Pardon My Take because it's gotten too long. Like, there's 2.5 hour episodes now, and I'm like, damn it, I want to listen to other podcasts. So I'm married to Around the NFL and the Ryan Russillo podcast. You know what I'm doing with that one now. Anyway, J.J. Watt was on Pardon My Take, and he had this to say about the Texans hiring D'Amico Ryans.
It was one of the best decisions they could have ever made because immediately, I mean, we've obviously gone through some struggles there in the last few years, but immediately every single old player's on board. All the fans are on board. Like, you want to fill that stadium up again next year? D'Amico as your coach is immediately doing it.
All of the right things have been said about him, not just by Chris Myers, not just by J.J. Watt. Pretty much every single person who has played with them is making you excited about it. You're getting gassed up. I really do hope that he's able to deliver. There are perhaps more expectations attached to D'Amico Ryans than there were with other coaches, and I do think you're going to have to be patient with a guy who is coming in, taking over a team that does not have a lot of talent, who is going to have to learn how to delegate responsibilities to people on many different parts of his coaching staff. We'll see where all of that goes. J.J. Watt also had this to say about his favorite career memory.
I've said my favorite 3 minutes of football that I've ever played was a game versus the Tennessee Titans at home in Houston a year where I got a strip sack. I picked up the ball, ran it like 15 yards. I came off the field for one play. They threw a ball down to D-Hop to the one-yard line. They called me back in. I went in the backfield, motioned out, and Ryan Fitzpatrick threw me a touchdown the next play. So like a three-play stretch where I did everything I could do on defense, and then I went out and scored on offense. To me, that was the coolest moment of my career because I felt like I was playing backyard ball.
That was a very fun season, 2014. They didn't make the playoffs, and there were some frustrations with Ryan Fitzpatrick as quarterback because I think we all realized you can do better. Even if Fitzpatrick, like, had his occasional great moments. Like, after Ryan Mallett got hurt, he had that 6-touchdown pass game against the Tennessee Titans. But that was a fun year. Both of those years were really fun. And I do hope that we remember those J.J. Watt moments. I know that there wasn't ever a Super Bowl, and there wasn't ever even an AFC Championship game appearance, and that there were a lot of duds in big-time games where you were hoping that J.J. Watt was going to do more in said big-time games, and he never really was able to do it. And I'm talking about regular season games, but I mean, that's the greatest player in franchise history. So I'll be curious to hear that interview. He's done a couple of interviews with Pardon My Take. I think actually I got to interview the Pardon My Take guys back at the Texans flagship because they were about to interview J.J. Watt. That was when they weren't the number one sports podcast in America. Anyway, speaking of America, last night we saw the State of the Union. I didn't watch it. I was at the gym while it was on.
Sick.
Yeah, sick, Sean. You got to keep the bod in shape. You got to stay healthy. I saw it up on a television, and I do think it's funny to watch it on mute and have no idea what's going on, because you see an image, and there's the president, and there's the vice president, and there's the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House is probably from one political party. The vice president is from another. You have no idea what they're saying if you watch it on mute. But the amount of times that you'll see the vice president stand up and applaud with no context, and then they show a crowd shot where half of the room is standing up, and then they'll zoom in on specific people and their enthusiasm gasms out there. There is a just element of the State of the Union that does make me laugh. It's dumb. No matter who's the president in there, they're just going to say, here's what we're doing right, and here's what we're going to do next. Okay, sure, I'll believe it when I see it. But I figured, since it is February 8th of 2023, perhaps we should deliver a State of the Union about the state of Houston sports. We're going to have some applause along the way. We might even have some jeering, because I guess there was some booing that took place last night, too. That's awesome. I wish I could have heard that or seen in subtitles, boo, or something like that. Would have been amusing to me. But anyway, can I get a little ambiance, Sean Mapes, behind the glass? We stand here today in February of 2023. At a crossroads. Yes, the Houston Astros are the greatest team, not just in baseball, but in baseball history. What they have been able to accomplish through zero nefarious means ever, as evidenced by their World Series title this past October, shall never be questioned ever again. And to make matters better, we've moved on from cheapskate general manager James Click to Dana Brown. Now, where do we go from here? The Astros carry us forward with Dana Brown as GM, with Jim Crane as owner, with Dusty Baker back as manager. No more Justin Verlander blowing it in the World Series. It's Christian Javier time. This year will be the first back-to-back World Series champions that we've seen since I don't remember off the top of my head. But as we stand here at these crossroads, we must acknowledge that parts of our Houston sports must change. Some already have. DeMeco Ryans, as head coach of the Houston Texans, will usher us forward to a horizon unknown of positive, happy thoughts that we haven't been able to have since the evil menace of Jack Easterby loomed over our shoulder. We are considering articles of impeachment and jail time for Jack Easterby. We will work on that as time progresses. Now, yes, the Texans are heading in the right direction, but we must talk about the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are a blight upon our city. They have not done anything of value this year, and you have to wonder about the direction. I demand new leadership. I demand Victor Wembanyama. I demand for this team to be what it used to be before James Harden made them wholly unwatchable. And I would be remiss if I did not mention our beloved Cougs. The liberal media is keeping them down. They should be the number one team in all of college basketball. not number two, but under the steady stewardship of Kelvin Sampson, we know where this team will be. We know where this team belongs. The Houston Cougars and Final Fours are synonymous over history. This is something we know will happen. It is something we expect will happen because this is the best team in Houston sports that is playing right now. I must remember the Astros and all that. Anyway, the Houston Cougars are destined to win a national championship, to finally kick down the door. You know it. I know it. God bless Houston, and God bless the Paul Gallant Show, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I didn't break the table. So there you go. Was that good? That was a little improv. I didn't have any moments, you know, forgetting where I was. There's no senility there, right? Didn't poop myself. Did that happen last night? I don't know. I don't care because I don't watch it, and I'm never going to watch the State of the Union again. But maybe we'll do another State of the Union at some point. June, July. I really do think the Cougars have a chance. I do. I wish, though, that they were in the Big 12. I really feel like they would be so much more battle-tested come tournament time had they been able to get into the Big 12 this year. I really do. Like, even if they were like 16th or 17th or 18th or something like that and had a few more losses on the resume, I would feel a lot better about their chances if they were a little more battle-tested. But I do feel pretty damn good about them. As the Thank you. I like how we're still going here. As the biggest Cougs fan here at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 family, you know, Jeremy Brandon, like, yeah. You always got to wonder where his loyalty
is. It's more of a business relationship, I feel.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, like.
It's transactional.
Jeremy wishes that he could be talking about D'Amico Ryans over the course of the Cougars games, you know, but hey, they don't let him. So he's good. For the Cougars. He's not great like me. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in. 713-780-ESPN to text in on the HRNP listener line. I have a question for you. Who would you rather have as a teammate? Kyrie Irving or Kyler Murray? We will talk about the latest story involving Kyrie Irving before the end of the show. Holy crap. I did not think he could one-up himself. We talk about Aaron Rodgers doing it. Kyrie is amazing. Paul Gallant, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Does this suit the vibes of the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? Yes, it does, because we're giving you free tickets! Yeah! Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. You are going to see the American singer and songwriter Thomas Rhett, who's coming to Houston for his 2023 home team tour. Again, caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett with special guests Cole Swindell and Nate Smith. That is August 4th at the Toyota Center. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. In the last segment, we did a Houston Texans State of the Union. It would be funny if somebody in the middle of the State of the Union said, we are going to criminally prosecute all those who have wronged the state of Houston sports. I feel like Jack Easterby would be very high on that list. Perhaps. I'm starting to get there with Steven Silas, man. I'm really annoyed by the lack of progress this team's been making this year. You got some young players there. It's not anywhere close to with Jack Easterby, but yikes. Okay, so I don't know how many people remember back in time when Kyler Murray first came onto the scene in the NFL. But I think we all had some skepticism about him just because of some of our first impressions of him. But Dan Patrick is the guy that really started to dig, I think, the most weirdness out of Kyler Murray back in the day. So if we go back in time to, I want to say, man, it's funny how far back in time that actually seems. There once was a moment where we weren't 100% sure whether or not Kyler Murray was going to play football or baseball. In retrospect, it's crazy that we ever had that debate, right? What would you rather do? Be drafted by a major league team, likely at that moment in time, the Oakland A's, or a potential top 10 pick in the NFL draft? Obviously the latter. The A's were a Mickey Mouse cheap organization. Any team in the NFL, by comparison, is going to be better. You also have, in the NFL, if you're a quarterback, unless you're absolutely terrible, probably a lock that for 5 years or so, you're going to be making some bank. But anyway, Kyler Murray first made the world aware of how awkward he was with an interview with Dan Patrick leading up to the NFL draft, where he was taken first overall in 2019. Dan Patrick was trying to figure out whether or not he was going to have a pro day, and it just got delightfully awkward.
Yeah, are you going to do a pro day? Yeah? Yeah.
I guess if you want to say yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah,
sure. It's okay. You can have a pro day, but instead of
that would imply that I was going to play football.
Okay. So you're going to have a pro day? When do you report for the Oakland A's?
February 15th.
Oh, you knew that. Okay. So you're ready to go to do that. Wait, are you going to spring training?
I don't know.
Wait, you don't know? Dad, is he going to spring training? Another no comment here.
He was so squirrely in that interview. And maybe that was unfairly held against him as we got closer and closer to the NFL draft, but he was so awkward there. At the NFL draft, he's wearing a pink suit, and he says that The Great Gatsby, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, was his favorite movie and why he wore the suit. And I feel like that should have been a massive red flag against Kyler Murray in the draft. Like, forget his personality and forget the video game addiction and the fact that the Cardinals had to write into the contract that he needs to study film on his own time and not be playing video games at the same time. Like, that in alone, liking that dog bleep movie, is enough for me to be out on Kyler. So, and I've said this a bunch of times before, I've always been out on Kyler Murray because of his taste in movies. A dumb way to start, right? But Murray's always been awkward. There was a couple of years later where Murray comes back on with Dan Patrick, and you'd think, okay, now he doesn't have anything to hide, whether or not he's going to be a baseball player or an NFL player. And here was Kyler Murray with Dan Patrick.
Wasn't prepared to give an answer. I don't know if I even had an answer at that time, but it was fun in my eyes. I mean, everybody.
It wasn't fun in my eyes. Just Well, I wanted to help you. I was trying to help you because I knew what the reaction was going to be. And I just didn't want it to come back where teams were going to go, well, did you see what happened on the Dan Patrick show? Or I thought there was going to be negative feedback for you.
Yeah, no, I think there was that. I want to say the Cardinals asked about the the interview.
We had teams that asked for a copy of that, Kyler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they wanted to know what happened. They didn't know how you were under pressure. They didn't know if you know how teams overreact when it comes to the draft.
I think the whole world did.
So, hearing more and more of Kyler Murray's personality there, If you've watched the Cardinals version of Hard Knocks in season, you've seen the, at times, extremely acrimonious relationship that Murray had with Cliff Kingsbury, perhaps with DeAndre Hopkins, to the point that it seems like Hopkins wants to be traded out of town. Murray does not seem to have made many friends in Arizona. I think that he hides from accountability, and I think he is really, really lucky that Michael Bidwill, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, who, yes, is looking for accountability with the hiring of Monty Osenfort, gave him the contract that he did when he didn't need to give him a contract at all. They extended Steve Keim. They extended Cliff Kingsbury. Both of those guys are now gone. And to take a look at where the Cardinals are now at a bit of a crossroads, you have to wonder who the hell actually still believes in Kyler Murray. Clearly none of the coaching candidates that the Cardinals have been thinking about are, because they still don't have a head coach, along with the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, have apparently ruled out Jeff Saturday as their next head coach, which is a tad disappointing. So curiosity about Kyler Murray, I think, is totally fair at this point in time. Dan Patrick had J.J. Watt on, who, of course, just played with Kyler Murray. And Dan was really trying to squeeze out of J.J. Watt something about what Kyler Murray's like behind the scenes.
I'm trying to be, it feels like Jalen Hurts has a better sense of who Jalen Hurts is than Kyler Murray does.
This is some deep, deep stuff. I was not prepared for the deep level of questioning this morning.
Yeah, I normally don't get that deep.
No, you know? I was not ready to go into the psychological aspects of players that are not myself.
But you're there on the team. You see it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you mentor, if he listens to anybody, but I don't know. It's just a weird feeling. He's a wonderful talent. I remember when he was in high school. He could do everything. Sometimes when it's too easy, then, you know, are you really developing, putting in the time?
But how easy was it at Oklahoma?
In that offense. Pretty tough. In that offense, it was pretty easy.
It wasn't easy this. Oh, I guess, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield, it was easy for him, too.
Could I do it?
What?
Do you think I could do it? I think Lincoln Riley could make me a Heisman winner. You think he'd make me a Heisman winning quarterback?
No, but don't change the subject.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
A little awkward there, huh? I don't think JJ wants to talk about other people. And I'll give him a lot of credit. That is a remarkable show of loyalty with a guy that I imagine rubbed him the wrong way. Had to have. I can't imagine anyone has enjoyed the Kyler Murray experience in Arizona. I really can't think of one person who would really be enjoying all of this. So Dan Patrick kept pressing after that awkward exchange where J.J. Watt was pushing back against the idea that it's been easy for Kyler Murray at every single step. Here is another exchange between J.J. and Dan Patrick.
I'll let you off the hook. You don't have to answer Kyler Murray.
I'm sitting here. You're saying it was easy. The guy won 4 state championships in high school. He won a national champion. Not a national championship, but he won a Heisman in college.
It was too easy. Now you have to outthink people. Now you have to put in the effort. Everybody's great.
Why didn't you do it if it was so easy?
I got as many surgeries as you have.
Do you?
Yeah.
How many do you have?
Let's
hear them.
Shoulder, hand, eyes. Replacement knee, 7 surgeries.
All right, that's not...
Botox.
Oh. am I on my way to that? Is that coming up?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great.
Yes, it is.
A nice pull-up to get away from all the awkwardness by Dan Patrick, who I do think kind of created this situation for himself as someone who's not anywhere close to as good at this gig as Dan Patrick is. Patrick's always been great at asking very short questions, and he should have just, I think, said in that situation, what's Kyler Murray like behind the scenes? Because he was making some remarks about Murray, and I think JJ sensed right away, like, yeah, I'm not getting into this. And props to JJ for being, I think, a loyal stand-up dude there. But, I mean, Murray, it just can't be fun to play with him. It can't. So that's the most recent audio that we've heard about Kyler Murray, which isn't a whole lot of anything, right? Well, who would you pick between Kyler Murray and Kyrie Irving? You're going to laugh at what Kyrie Irving had to say at his introductory press conference with the Dallas Mavericks yesterday. At all of it. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Kyrie Irving was introduced with the Dallas Mavericks yesterday, and it has me wondering who you would rather have as a teammate, Kyler Murray or Kyrie Irving. Both have brilliant moments on the field, on the court, but both seem like they would be insufferable to be around for totally different reasons. I think Murray is a basketball player playing football, if that makes sense. And I think that Kyrie Irving is a conspiracy theorist playing basketball. I don't want to have a basketball player on my team because I feel like that guy's going to be out for himself and himself alone. And sorry, I don't really want to hear a conspiracy theorist. We already have Dick Willey in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. So let's dive into this Kyrie Irving introductory press conference, which was chef's kiss. Kyrie feels that he was disrespected during his time in Brooklyn. Why? Here's Kyrie.
In the seat today, I just know I want to be places where I'm celebrated and not just tolerated or just, you know, kind of dealt with in a way that doesn't make me feel respected. And there were times throughout this process when I was in Brooklyn where I felt very disrespected, and my talent, I work extremely hard at what I do. No one ever talks about my work ethic, though. Everyone talks about what I'm doing off the floor.
Everyone talks about what you're doing off the floor because you were literally off the floor, Kyrie. Good God.
Because no one else missed like 70% of their team's games.
Right. And look, maybe you were taking a stand for all those people who did not want to get the vaccine. But it's far more likely that you just didn't want to play and use this as a convenient excuse. I felt disrespected. I wanted to be celebrated, not tolerated. Well, when you're not playing, again, who the bleep is going to celebrate you? The idea of you and Kevin Durant pairing up was super exciting for not just the few Brooklyn Net fans that are in existence in New York, which is a Knicks town, but also across basketball. People wanted to see what that actually could be. People wanted to see Kevin Durant perhaps create a new chapter for himself where he wasn't going to be overshadowed by having played with Steph Curry in that great Golden State Warriors team. And instead, we got you never playing, barely playing at all with the James Harden Durant team, 10 total games, and then with Durant himself, barely any games as well. That's where this all stems from. And yes, when people are, I don't know, not celebrating you, there's usually a reason for that. Talking about what you were doing off the court, yes, again, you were legitimately not on the basketball court, Kyrie.
But I will take that to heart, where I will every time mention how hard he's working. I'll try to
be
better
on the court. Yes, he is working very hard to annoy as many people as possible.
He's a great work ethic.
Yes. I mean, he'll watch a 3.5-hour documentary. We'll get to that in a moment. A follow-up question by a reporter also had me laughing because they asked, like, well, how do they disrespect you? What's going on here?
I just know I need healthy boundaries, especially in this entertainment business. There's a lot of disrespect that goes on with people's families, with their names, and I'm just not with it. So it's not personal against any of those guys against in the front office. It's just what I'm willing to accept. And I took a chance, and luckily and fortunately, the Dallas Mavericks picked me up. So it's just all what I can control.
I hate this. So many players do this. Deshaun Watson did this offseason. When I can talk about it, I will. But I don't talk about things like that. Yes, because you got nothing. You got nothing, Kyrie. We know it. You know it.
And you could say, yeah, well, there's a narrative out there about me, blah, blah, blah. And enough people will say, yeah, you're right. The narrative. It's so true. I hate that word. That's for people that work in media. Obviously, there's the really, 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 really bad N-word. But the word narrative, we hate that. We hate that stupid-ass word.
But it's not as bad as the other one.
It's not as bad.
Okay.
Bold take by the Paul Gallant
Show.
Yeah,
brave.
N-bombs, worse than the word narrative.
You know, people talk a lot about what you do off the mic, but it's what you put into the mic that I feel like we should celebrate
That sounds sexual. So
what?
I'm not putting anything into a microphone, though.
You're putting words into a microphone. You're moving your lips.
Never thought about that.
You're moving your lips, and out comes words.
I'm just going to try to not make a joke that will get me in trouble here.
They go from the microphone into our ears.
Hey, Kyrie Irving, he plays basketball, and he wasn't done at this press conference. So you think it's bad where he's saying, like, I'm not being celebrated for all the work that I put in. I'm not being celebrated for, you know, being for what I do on the court, because you weren't on the court. Kyrie also explained why he deleted a post he had made on Instagram that apologized for posting like a dumbass's conspiracy theory for 3.5 hours about what's the name of the book, the movie again? I don't even want to promote it.
I forgot if it was Hebrews to Negroes or Negroes to Hebrews. I forgot which way it was going.
I think it's the
H2N,
the former, not the latter. Yeah, it's he posted this online. He apologized for it via a statement on Instagram. Supposedly, he has deleted said post. Here was his rationale for that. Kyrie Irving had an awful apology for deleting his Instagram. It wasn't good. And then ultimately, at the end of that press conference, he talked about his family. And when talking about his family, he was saying, well, you know what? If the media had done their research, they would have seen that I do have Jewish people in my family. I do have that. And that part, to me, completely unacceptable. That part right there. Oh, if the media had done the research. You don't need to do any research here, Kyrie. You're talking out of your ass. Some people in my family are Jewish. Are they? I'm sorry. I'm still skeptical. And none of that justifies taking the post down unless you don't actually believe in the apology that you put out there. So this is one of those things that you see with Kyrie Irving. And if you got to pick between Kyler Murray and Kyrie Irving as your teammate, which one are you picking? I feel like with Kyler Murray, you're not going to have somebody who's going to go all in and hold himself responsible when he fails. He will hold you responsible. But with Kyrie, he's almost never going to show up, and you're probably going to be getting asked questions as Kyrie's teammate about the most recent dumb bleep he said. Because that's all Kyrie does. So if you got to take your pick between the two, who are you picking? I got to pick between the two. I mean, I guess I'm picking Kyrie. I feel like Kyler's going to get hurt in most of the games that he plays in, too. There's an element of that. And I feel like we have perhaps moved past the whole Kyrie Irving sits out all of the games and or half of the games phase of Kyrie's career. Like, I think now with the pandemic in the rearview mirror, I do think we're done with Kyrie Irving quitting on his team. You never know.
I mean, he did get suspended like this year, like in December.
But it wasn't a very long suspension.
It was like 10 games.
That wasn't that long, considering how unapologetic he was.
No. But that's still like an eighth of the season that he basically voluntarily missed.
I wonder if he deleted his apology from Instagram as soon as the suspension was done.
No, I think it was after the trade.
After the trade. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Because he doesn't want anyone to be able to cross-reference it off the top of their head when they're in that reporter press conference area.
It's also because, like, well, I just did that for the Nets so I could get back on the court because of how much, you know, I work hard.
He's the worst. They're both the worst. in their own way.
They are both the worst. I go with Kyrie just because, like, there's a chance that he just doesn't show up. Like, I don't want to be around either of them. And Kyrie, like, I won't be around him as long. He'll get traded. Like, he'll only play 70 games for me.
Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well on the HRNP listener line. We did also have on the conversation today, on the table for today's conversation on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, LeBron James. One word to describe how you feel about him breaking the all-time record for scoring in the NBA. And we got to talk about one of Houston's beloved figures with an all-time bad take. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776. Call in to text in as well. At Gallant Says on Twitter. At Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Kyrie Irving, Kyler Murray. One has to be your teammate. Who are you picking? Text line offers this. HRNP text line. From the 832. Is retirement an option before picking Kyrie or Kyler? It's definitely a less dark option than, I don't know, Bullet, as some may have picked yesterday for a certain scenario. Wouldn't be me. I would never. No, you got to pick one or the other. Kyrie almost has retired, it feels like, at times. We haven't quite gotten there with Kyler. Some more comments. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. CapFish317 says, Kyrie issues don't show up on the court, though. That's fair.
Well, because the issues literally take him off the court.
Also fair. With Kyler Murray, you do see him miss games now. I mean, he is a smaller, diminutive fellow. I call him the Catman because he moves quick like a cat. But, hey, you hit a cat square on, like, you're going to hit a cat pretty damn hard. They're small little animals. I would never. That's horrible to even think about. But when Murray gets hit, he gets smoked.
He also has a personality like a cat.
He does.
He's a very, like, kind of aloof.
He's aloof, and he doesn't care that he's aloof, which is exactly like a cat. You're right. That's why I call him the Cat Man. It's a little bit of everything. Much more so the personality, though, these days than the actual player side of things. Text in, also from the 832. I would take Kyrie because he balls, shows more effort into ball. Wants everyone to praise his work ethic.
Good work ethic.
Right. Why wasn't he respected in Brooklyn? Who's to say? But it really does, as Sean just said a moment ago, have to do with the fact that he wasn't on the court. I want to be celebrated for what I do on the court. Then show up on it. Like, that's all you got to do.
I think I saw something that Durant and Kyrie only played like 75 games together in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And they signed in 2019.
It was a while ago.
To be fair, Durant missed the first year with an Achilles injury.
Correct.
So it's just, what, this year, last year, the year before, where they combined for less than a full season's worth of games.
It's the pandemic on in 2020.
Yeah.
Right. From the 409, I would go with Kyrie because it at least seems like he cares about teammates off the court. Josh and Beaumont. It does seem like Kyrie Irving has friends.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true. That's a good point.
It seems like we dislike Kyrie a lot more than his teammates, where a texter texted me on the Gallant phone that Kyler Murray has no friends and that he has a story to share with me about it. I'm actually very curious about said story. I don't think I'll ever be telling it on the air based off of that text, though.
Well, to be fair, he does have a squad that he plays Call of Duty with. So, you know.
That's
so
true.
Who needs friends when you have brothers? Brothers in arms.
Yeah, but he seems like the kind of person that would just camp and snipe and, like, not actually join the teammates while, like, trying to rush a position or something like that. He does seem like that. Look, I play like that, too. People hate on campers.
Well, you're also kind of a cat man, so.
Yeah, I am, but also I like sneaking around and being a ninja. Or just blowing people's heads off from, like, 500 yards away. It's fun. In video games. All right. Before we get to garbage time, this is an all-time zag by Mattress Mack. It comes courtesy of an article with my buddy, John Lopez, on GallerySports.com. By the way, check out the video I did with Rachel Van Oranje on GallerySports.com. Posted that yesterday. We know that Cal McNair, Jim Crane, Tillman Fertitta, local politicians seem in favor of some sort of change in Texas when it comes to regulated sports gambling. Mattress Mack doesn't want it, though, and I don't get it. Said Mack, I am 1,000% against it in Texas. I am the world's most famous gambler. That's annoying. Because I am very impulsive. I don't know that you're that impulsive. I feel like you hedge your bets very well, especially with the whole free mattresses thing that you do. And I feel like other gamblers like me are very impulsive. And if all you have to do is make a bet is pick up the phone, it's too easy. So he wants it to be difficult to gamble. That's understandable. That does keep, I would imagine, some people from actually doing it. You have to have the discipline of having to get in the car, drive all the way to Louisiana, or fly to Lafayette or Lake Charles, wherever, and make the bets. The argument, all this is going to bring hundreds of millions of dollars into the state, there's no way. There aren't those kind of margins in this stuff. How much have schools improved since we got the lotto funds? I would say it's been absolutely zero. Okay.
Feels like a different issue.
It does. I just bring it up from this perspective. In a state that doesn't have a state income tax and hopefully never will have a state income tax, this is another way to bring revenue into the state. What the government does with that money, that is another story entirely, and I suppose that's a political rabbit hole that we could dive into. Continued Mac in the piece with John Lopez in GallerySports.com. If you want to go gamble somewhere else. I don't want to. Sorry. Like, shout out to the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles where the bench was the last couple of days. But no, I don't really want to drive 2.5 hours to Louisiana on a regular basis.
No, just hop in your car, drive 2 hours, or fly to Lafayette.
That's a pain in the ass.
I
got to get a hotel room to go gamble.
I love Mac throwing in, like, oh, just fly to Lafayette.
Yeah.
Like, hey, regular people, just get on a plane and fly to Lafayette if you want to put in a sports bet.
He keeps on going. What we need to do here is put more jobs here for Texans through things like trade schools. What? That doesn't have anything to do with the matter in hand either. If we're going to spend all this energy, why don't we spend some energy on bringing the trades back into high schools? Okay, we're talking about improving schools, but this has nothing to do with gambling being legalized in Texas. Like, we're going down a giant rabbit hole here, and I feel like you're sort of deflecting from the question whether or not Texas should legalize gambling, and I just think this is a crap zag by Mac. Like, this is the kind of zag that somebody on, like, Sports Talk Radio would do if they want to get callers or engagements or something like that. I don't believe he actually believes this. I don't think the reasons he is giving are authentic. I don't. I wonder, and this is my conspiracy theory hat on, my tinfoil hat on. I wonder how much lobbyists in Louisiana pay people to say that, nope, gambling should be illegal in Texas so that people come to Louisiana to gamble.
Do you think he's in tight with any of these
casinos
that he's dropping millions? No, I'll say. Do you think he's in tight with these casinos that he's dropping millions of dollars at?
It's hard.
That maybe he lobbies on their behalf?
Sean, it's hard to say. I don't know.
The ones that
good question.
He name dropped, why don't you go to Lafayette or Lake Charles or beautiful Shreveport, Louisiana? why don't you just do that?
No, it's because of people that are compulsive. We're all compulsive, said Mattress Mack. There are a whole lot of people that gambling has ruined their lives. I'm lucky enough to not have ruined my life. And you know, you get up to the edge. But for a lot of people, it's like, if you fly close enough to the sun, sooner or later, it's going to burn you. People should be allowed to make the choices that they want to make.
Is he also against the abolitionist?
Against drinking, maybe.
Yeah.
Based off prohibition. Of this logic, it seems like he would be against alcoholism.
If you want to drink, go to the Gold Nugget in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Seems like he would be against weed, too. Yeah. Sorry, it doesn't make any sense to me, this Zach. I'm not a gambling person. I'm not dying to gamble, but I would prefer to gamble here as opposed to having to drive 3 hours. No offense. Hey, Lake Charles is cool, but I would like to be able to just go outside on my phone and say, yep, boom, 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 gambling. Then maybe I'd do it, and maybe I'd know what I'm actually talking about when it comes to sports
and
gambling.
And gamble from, like, a professional environment, not... Yeah. A bookie, or like when you introduce the underground, when you make this underground, you're hurting the consumer even more.
That is Sean Ace behind the glass. Big thanks to him. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, our twitchers as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.